The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, and print disabilities. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, low vision, or have print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, continuing from last week's North Carolina Disability Rights Organization, there's an infograph at infograph.venngage.com. On page 4, there is a couple of case studies, actually 6 case studies. Real students, real impact. Disability Rights North Carolina is protecting students with disabilities across the state. Here's how. Gaston County, NC District 14. A young autistic boy was excluded from school for over a year and left without support. After DRNC filed a complaint, he returned to school with proper services. When he was invited to a birthday party, his mother said it was a milestone that showed how far he had come. A student with ADHD and autism was excluded and put on homebound instruction, causing him to miss vital services. DRNC won a state complaint. Now he's back in school with the supports he's legally entitled to and making educational progress. Johnston County, NC District 3, an 8th grader with autism was pushed into a part-time schedule with no services. DRNC filed a complaint leading to a 30 hours plus of compensatory services and identifying systemic failures in the district. Johnston County, NC District 13. An autistic high schooler was placed on a severely shortened school day and isolated in a room alone. The DRNC stepped in. The student is now back full-time, earning credits toward his diploma. A 7th grader with autism was forced into virtual learning with no path back to school. After DRNC's intervention, he returned to school with 20 hours of compensatory services. New Hanover County, NC District 7. A 4th grader with emotional disabilities was isolated, restrained, and excluded. DRNC helped get him back with classmates and finish the school year successfully. Wayne County, NC District 1. A deaf student with additional disabilities was attending school only 6 hours per week. DRNC's advocacy restored full-time education with an ASL interpreter. Behavior support and proper communication services. Her mother, once forced to leave work and lose housing due to her daughter's care needs, now sees her daughter making progress in class. On page 8 of the infograph, we have DRNC casework, legal advocacy in action. For years, a North Carolinian in District 11 with multiple sclerosis received income support through Medicaid. Then a policy change threatened to cut his services unless he moved into an institution, even though that option cost more than his 20 hours of care at home. This decision put the independence of thousands at risk. DRNC and its partners stepped in to stop it. The outcome preserved vital in-home services for more than 12,000 people and affirmed that support systems should help people remain in their homes and communities, not force them into costly isolating institutions. A firefighter in NC District 6 who wanted to become an emergency medical technician, EMT, so he could advance his firefighting career and fulfill a childhood dream, was denied the accommodations he needed to take the exam with certification. With DRNC's help, the young firefighter was given the accommodations. "I have wanted to be a firefighter since I was 5 years old," he said. "I'm hopeful that my experience shows others like me not to assume they cannot have a career as a first responder just because they need accommodations." A medically disabled worker in District 5 requested a transfer to an open position, a reasonable accommodation under the ADA. When the request was denied, DRNC stepped in to ensure his rights were protected. The outcome confirmed that employers must consider reassignment before denying accommodations, which keeps North Carolinians with disabilities on the job rather than being wrongfully excluded from the workforce and reliant on public benefits. A medically fragile toddler in NC District 4 was placed by a county Department of Social Services in an institution over 100 miles from home, despite federal guidance favoring care in family and community settings. DRNC challenged the practice, leading the DSS agency to revise its policies. This policy shift strengthens protections for children with disabilities across the state, ensuring DSS agencies prioritize keeping children at home and in their communities. From AFB.org, Product Review, InnoSearch, Easier Shopping Online, by Deborah Kendrick. InnoSearch is spelled InnoSearch. I've been shopping online for so many years that I can't even pinpoint when I started. But I can tell you that it used to be fun and easy. You could enter a search term, get results, and blithely arrow through them, reading detailed descriptions, prices, and other relevant details. 20 or more years ago, with absolute confidence, I bought a wedding dress, a leather couch, loads of shoes and shirts, and more random items than I could possibly remember, with just a computer keyboard and my speech or braille output. Early online shopping, in other words, was shopping without the confusion and difficulty that would ultimately accompany the practice for blind and low-vision consumers. As time and technology progressed, the online environment increased in its complexity. Unfortunately for blind people, this evolution meant an increase in the number of undecipherable graphical images and fewer words. Where once flowery descriptions of dresses and backpacks and gadgets prevailed, now a few cryptic words might leave the blind shopper hoping, with a fair measure of uncertainty, that they were ordering the desired item. Every website is unique, of course, some offering better navigation and communication than others, but the whole business of shopping online has grown to be akin to mountain climbing for many of us who can't see the pictures. Enter InnoSearch. Early last year, I heard about a new site called InnoSearch. Its promise was to make shopping online more approachable for blind computer users, and I decided with no small amount of skepticism to take a look. The journey has been an interesting one and is still evolving. On my first visit to InnoSearch, I saw two links near the top offering me shopping or flights. Since airline websites have been a particular nightmare for me for several years, I boldly tried the flights option first. Proceeding with a search was admittedly simpler than the experience offered by most airline sites, but still didn't get the job done. There simply wasn't adequate information provided to prompt an actual purchase. I switched to the link labeled shopping and immediately felt more confident. For my first exploration, I put in something like women's jeans petite and was pleasantly surprised when close to 200 results populated my screen. Each entry offered a link, words telling me the name of the product, the price, its originating store, and then a choice below it offering the opportunity to chat with InnoSearch. I was able to arrow down through the list without much interruption, seeing one product after another. On this first exploration, I did run into trouble getting back to the list of results when I wandered off to have a chat with InnoSearch. I might find out the available sizes, colors, etc. of a product and get a picture description. But then, when I wanted to return to the results list, I had to initiate the search all over again. Eventually, I made a choice, ordered jeans, and waited. That first experience did not provide a tracking number. This was resolved shortly, however, so that subsequent orders did indeed generate tracking information. When that first order arrived, the jeans turned out to be the wrong size. My error. I braced myself for what is sometimes an arduous process. I was, however, soon very happily proven wrong. I wrote to the InnoSearch support asking for instructions for initiating a return. They sent me a return label to print out, told me to go to the nearest Whole Foods, which is basically across the street, and when I arrived there, I was thrilled at the speed with which the task was accomplished. Without much fanfare, the person behind the counter took my package, gave me a receipt, and I was done. Better still, within hours, I had an email from InnoSearch telling me that the return was complete and that money would soon be refunded to me, as indeed it was. I waited a few weeks and took another run at the site. This time I was shopping for sheets. Individual sheets of varying sizes from twin to king are possible, so I typed sheet sets full or sheet sets queen in the search box and waited for results. There were still a few hundred of them, ranging wildly in price, color, fabric, and more. Each result told me the size, fabric, price, and retailer with an option to chat within a search to learn more. For the chat, there are questions to jumpstart your imagination as well as a text field for you to enter your own specific inquiry. You can read reviews, have a chat via typing or dictating within a search to learn more, or go back to the list of results. This time, I was happy to see that InnoSearch had addressed that particular issue, and that it is now possible to go back to the list of original results. Another improvement over my first experience is that this time, I was sent typical tracking information with a link to check for updates until my package arrived. In case I wasn't checking, InnoSearch sent an email to alert me that the package had been delivered. Ongoing growth and improvements. InnoSearch AI is decidedly a work in progress. I've been exploring and experimenting with it for about 5 months now, and with each return visit, I find tiny tweaks that have improved the site. Still, there are sometimes problems. Sometimes I find an item, but I can't find the choices necessary before purchasing. The chat with AI might tell me, for example, that a shirt is available in several sizes and colors, but then get stuck on size small in blue without instructions for changing to another option. When that happened to me and I couldn't find my way around it, I again wrote to InnoSearch support. Again, I received a timely reply giving me suggestions for how to find the options I was seeking, and I was soon placing another order. If you want to know what a product looks like, what the pictures reveal, or if it is available in other colors, sizes, formats, etc., just ask InnoSearch, and you will usually get an immediate and appropriate answer. Sometimes you will be told there is not sufficient information, but if you go back and modify the search phrase a bit, you might get better results. Flights. While I have not yet booked a flight through InnoSearch, I can vouch for that aspect of the service also steadily improving. The process has been streamlined to make searching with a screen reader a straightforward business, so that you can enter prospective flights, dates, and times simply by using your tab and arrow keys strategically, and will be presented with a list of resulting flights that can be explored without much complication. Again, I have not actually booked a flight with InnoSearch yet, but feel confident that doing so will be manageable. Calling ShopGPT. The most recent addition to InnoSearch's offerings has been the option to place a phone call and shop using your voice, interacting with ChatGPT. It's both impressive and daunting. If you have shopped on InnoSearch previously, when you call for the first time, your phone number links immediately to your name, address, and payment information. You can hold a conversation, search for items, ask for descriptions, prices, colors, sizes, etc. When I called after a period of weeks, I discovered the items from my last exploration were still in my cart. More troubling, they were not items I intended to buy, but rather had been simply browsing. That said, once you find an item in your cart, you can change the color, the quantity, the size, and so on, as long as you have the patience to continue the conversation. If you grow weary of the process, just disconnect and call again later. Your cart will still be there, ready for more shopping and tweaking. There's no money spent until you say proceed to checkout. And even then, InnoSearch talks you through the one confirmation after another to be sure you mean to buy this stuff. I have experimented quite a bit with the phone service, but have not actually placed an order. Be sure to listen carefully because changes seem to be made somewhat randomly at times, so take time to confirm that all aspects of your order are as you intended before confirming your payment. Conclusion. InnoSearch AI is far from perfect, but the company has made impressive strides toward making the experience of online shopping a truly enjoyable and accessible one for people using screen readers and other access technology. Best of all, the company seems truly interested in hearing customer feedback and is quick to respond to questions or requests for assistance. They boast offering hundreds of thousands of products from a plethora of merchants, so whether you are shopping for protein shakes, sneakers, or lamp shades, chances are excellent you can find and order what you need independently by using your computer at home or phone. To explore for yourself, visit InnoSearch.ai or have a conversation with an AI bot by calling 855 Ask-GPT, 855-746-7478. From NewYorkTimes.com, disabled Amtrak riders see progress but still feel like freight. Passengers are facing blocked wheelchair space, getting stuck indoors, and suffering other indignities 35 years after the Americans with Disabilities Act became law. Dateline August 14th. Aubrey Lee, who has muscular dystrophy and uses a power wheelchair, and Peter Sotov Harshfield, who has low vision, have traveled across the United States on Amtrak 5 times in the last 3 years. Jason Henry for the New York Times reporting. When Aubrey Lee and Peter Sotov Harshfield ride Amtrak's Coast Starlight up the California coast or the Lakeshore Limited along the Great Lakes, they seek out more than just a seat with a view. They're also on the lookout for garbage cans and suitcases blocking their spot. Ms. Lee, who has muscular dystrophy and uses a power wheelchair, often relies on Amtrak's designated wheelchair spaces to travel. Despite signs requiring those areas be kept clear, they frequently end up as repositories for luggage and trash. Mr. Sotov Harshfield, who has low vision and depends on screen reading software, contends with glitches and inaccessible features when he uses Amtrak's app. The couple, who estimate that they've spent 560 hours on Amtrak together in the last 3 years, traveling coast to coast 5 times, said that riding the train is still much easier than flying, but the indignities they've experienced, not just trash cans and a faulty app, but also incorrectly deployed boarding ramps, inaccessible dining cars, and more, have left them with the sense that they must constantly advocate to receive the services they're entitled to by law. "It makes me feel like freight," Ms. Lee said. "I don't feel respected as a person." The Americans with Disabilities Act, which became law in 1990, prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities and mandates that businesses, including Amtrak, provide people with disabilities an equal opportunity to use their services. Amtrak aims to be fully compliant with the ADA by 2029. But a report last month from Amtrak's Office of Inspector General showed how far the railroad company still has to go. The report found that while Amtrak was making progress toward its accessibility goals, it lacked an overarching strategy to improve customer service for passengers with disabilities and did not collect or use all the data at its disposal to improve those passengers' experiences. Amtrak said in a statement that it had begun to address the recommendations in the report and had taken steps such as strengthening a comprehensive strategic plan focused on improving the experience for passengers with a disability, enhancing our training processes, and more. When inches count. People with disabilities who spoke with the New York Times overwhelmingly said Amtrak was their preferred mode of transportation. Flying can be onerous for wheelchair users who must be hoisted in and out of their seats and risk having their wheelchairs lost or damaged in an airplane's cargo hold. For travelers with vision impairments, navigating and getting to and from airports can also pose a challenge. Train stations are typically smaller and more centrally located. Airplane travel is torture, Ms. Lee said. Train travel is not torture. It's challenging in many ways, but it's also enjoyable. Experts said Amtrak had taken meaningful steps to improve access for the more than 70 million U.S. adults with a disability, and the company laid out plans to comply with the Inspector General's recommendations by next year. But progress cannot come fast enough for many disabled people who depend on Amtrak. In June, Alisa Grishman, a longtime Amtrak rider, planned to travel to Washington from her home in Pittsburgh to attend a protest. Ms. Grisham, who has multiple sclerosis and uses a motorized wheelchair, knew from experience that her chair fit through the door of Amtrak's double-decker train cars, but she was surprised when a train with single-level cars arrived at the station. When she tried to enter, her chair got jammed in the doorway. "I got stuck to the point that I had to get out of my wheelchair and turn around and shove it back," Ms. Grisham said. "I was just in an absolute panic at that point, and other than offering me a refund, no one really did anything." She ended up having to cancel her trip and was devastated, she said. The ADA generally requires train car doors to be 32 inches wide, but some Amtrak cars, mostly built in the 1970s and 80s and used on short and medium haul routes, have 30-inch doors. said W. Kyle Anderson, an Amtrak spokesman. He added that much of the current fleet is equipped with doors that meet or exceed ADA requirements, as will all new trains currently on order. Barriers and blunders. Amtrak, established by Congress in 1970, has struggled to meet the needs of riders with disabilities since its early days, when accessibility was hardly a consideration, and through the decades since the ADA became law. A 2013 report from the National Disability Rights Network, titled All Aboard Except People with Disabilities, found that disabled passengers were forced to suffer embarrassment, discomfort, and other indignities when riding on Amtrak. In 2020, Amtrak reached a settlement agreement with the Department of Justice over its accessibility failures and ultimately paid more than $2 million to more than 1,500 passengers with disabilities whom it had discriminated against. But perhaps nothing encapsulates the frustrations of disabled passengers like the time in 2020 when Amtrak asked a group of wheelchair users to pay $25,000 to remove a row of seats for a two-hour trip from Chicago. After widespread condemnation, Amtrak reversed course and agreed to accommodate the entire group without charging them to reconfigure the car. Amtrak's duty to disabled passengers extends beyond its trains, too. One major barrier to improving accessibility is that the railroad company doesn't own all its stations. If the city owns the parking lot and Amtrak owns the platform, for example, the bureaucratic hurdles to making upgrades can multiply quickly, said David Capozzi, C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I, a member of Amtrak's board of directors and a longtime disability rights advocate. The Inspector General's report calls for greater coordination among Amtrak's seven divisions that handle customer service for passengers with disabilities. The report found, for example, that Amtrak's technology department had modified its app without consulting the accessibility office, resulting in some features being inaccessible for passengers who use screen readers. Mr. Sathoff Harshfeld, his name is spelled S-A-A-T-H-O-F-F-H-A-R-S-H-F-I-E-L-D, said he had noticed the problems. A button to select a station when checking a train's on-time status was inaccessible via his screen reader, and at one point it repeated the word train before the name of each station when he clicked through a list of them. It just seemed like there was no attention to detail, said Mr. Sathoff Harshfeld, who works as an accessibility analyst at Google. A moment of opportunity. The Inspector General's report focused on customer service, but outdated equipment bears some of the blame. Much of Amtrak's current infrastructure, from its stations to the train cars themselves, comes from a bygone era. Most of the equipment is 40 or 50 years old, well before the ADA was a glimmer in anyone's eye, said Mr. Capozzi. Accessibility just wasn't considered. Adam Ballard, one of the Amtrak riders who faced that $25,000 charge a half decade ago, said the Amtrak agents who interact with passengers were almost never at fault for the challenges he encountered. More often than not, I can trace bad customer service I've gotten to a problem that staff have a hard time working around because of the actual design of the system, he said. Whether it's stations that are less than accessible or equipment that's not as user-friendly as it should be. Piece by piece, that's changing. Amtrak brought more than 50 stations into ADA compliance over the last 5 years, Mr. Capozzi said. Acela, Amtrak's premium service in the Northeast Corridor, is set to enter new trains into service starting August 28th with technology that can play on-board announcements directly via most hearing aids. And Amtrak's next-generation trains, called Aero, A-I-R-O, will have built-in motorized wheelchair lifts, replacing the hand-cranked mobile lifts currently in use. Aero trains are expected to debut in 2026 and will eventually serve 14 routes along the East Coast and in the Pacific Northwest. Amtrak's fundamental dilemma is, whatever they do today is going to be what we're living with for the next 30 to 40 years, said Charles Petroff, P-E-T-R-O-F, a senior attorney at Access Living, an organization that provides support services for people with disabilities and was consulted for the report. That time horizon means they've got to fix it now or be stuck with it for a really long time. The Trump administration's proposed budget for fiscal year 2026 essentially holds Amtrak funding steady at around $2.4 billion, although it shifts $290 million to Amtrak's national network and away from the Northeast Corridor. Amtrak said it was largely aligned with the administration's budget request. But even when there is progress, Ms. Lee was recently able to access a train's dining car for the first time, it so far has been incremental at best. She was kind of wedged in there between the trash can and the table, Mr. South of Harshfield said. Despite the challenges, Ms. Lee and Mr. South of Harshfield said they understand that Amtrak operates under difficult conditions. It's this really old system, and Amtrak is a bare minimum thing that's still going along, Mr. South of Harshfield said. Still, for them, the train remains a better option than the alternative. You don't have to go to some far-flung airport, he said. You get to see the country up close. Follow New York Times Travel on Instagram and sign up for our Travel Dispatch newsletter to get expert tips on traveling smarter and inspiration for your next vacation. Dreaming up a future getaway or just armchair traveling? Check out our Please 52 places to go in 2025. Gabe Castro Root is a travel reporter and a member of the 2025-26 Times Fellowship Class, a program for journalists early in their careers. See more on the hot link for Amtrak from able.org. The 8 best work-from-home opportunities for the blind. Myth number 1, remote jobs for the blind are rare. The truth? The jobs are out there. Another truth, the blind face additional barriers, making employment harder than ever before. Barriers like unconscious bias, AI-powered applicant filters, and inaccessible job application platforms prevent the blind and visually impaired from landing the job. That's just the beginning. It's why in our most recent live Ask Me Anything event, 8 best remote jobs for the blind, over 100 people signed up and over 70 attended live. Here's the recap on the 8 jobs we covered, the skills you'll need, and exactly how to get started. And if you missed the recording, we included the entire presentation plus Q&A at the bottom of the post. But first, huge shout out to all our friends and partners on Facebook for sharing this AMA event. Your shares and comments kept everyone engaged, alerted, and we couldn't say thank you enough. The 8 best work-from-home opportunities for the blind. Number 1, accessibility testing and consulting. The role, evaluate websites, apps, and digital products for accessibility, using assistive tech to uncover issues automated tools miss. Pay $25 to $75 per hour. Skills experience needed. Strong proficiency with NVDA or JAWS for manual accessibility testing. Note, if you have enough sight to use a mouse, you don't need to have super strong screen reader skills, but you will need to use NVDA or JAWS. Excellent understanding of WCAG guidelines. Testing accessibility isn't just about people who use screen readers. It includes people of all abilities, including those with cognitive and mobility impairments, sensory and print disabilities. Ability to clearly explain accessibility issues to developers or project managers. In short, you don't need to write code, but you do need to be comfortable talking about it. Comfort with development tools and Chrome extensions. There are many tools and resources used to perform comprehensive accessibility testing, reporting, and guidance. These are critical tools in your toolbox. Where to find work? Fable, Applause, Upwork, Indeed, LinkedIn. I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-5138 with questions,